Let's stand up and pray. Like I told you, at prison yesterday, two people got filled with the Holy Ghost and two people come to the Lord. And who knows what's going to happen today, because there was only 15 ladies in there. And the amazing thing was, is most of them, you could tell, were on a date. I mean, they were, yeah. But the amazing thing, there's been this, the lady that's been coming in, you know, you can just, well, anyway. Every time we minister out there, she gets a little softer and a little more receptive. And sometimes when you think nobody's entering in and nobody's receiving, you just got to wait and you got to keep planting. But it's just awesome to see God work like that. So, praise God. We're just believing. Susan was there. Remember Susan? She wanted your prayers. She wanted to say hi to everybody. But she's, you know, it's hard. It's hard for her because she knew she was free. And then, you know, it's just hard for her. She's trying to do the right thing. So just pray for Susan. She wanted your prayers. And she said she loved y'all and miss you. And so, Lord God, we thank you. Let's raise our hands to him. We thank you, Lord. We have a thankful heart, God, and where we don't, God, I pray you would plant a thankful heart in us. I pray, Lord, that we would receive your word today. And God, I pray that your word would bring forth 100, 60, and 30-fold fruit. God, I will not allow my life to be fruitless. God, in Jesus' name, I will not allow my life to be fruitless in Jesus' name. Thank you, no power on earth can stop me from my destiny, God. Thank you, Lord, for this word today will strengthen and increase my desire to fulfill what you have showed me to do, and that you would show me to do what I don't know yet, Lord, but God, speak to my heart and change my life, God, in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. If you weren't here last week, you need to listen to the podcast. It was powerful. If you were here, you need to encourage others to listen to the podcast. If you can't be at church, listen to the podcast, because that's why we put it out there. It's not so we can say, we've got a podcast. It's not about that. You can get all of Dave Hogan's messages on the podcast. You can get Harry Jackson on the podcast. Just the most fundamental teaching on healing. And, I mean, it was just, to me, it was one of the best I've ever heard. And so you need to get on there and listen to that to increase your faith, right? Faith comes by a podcast, and podcast by the, no, man, that's hearing, right? A podcast is hearing, isn't it? So, somebody was going to get baptized today, and I had a message on water baptism and, you know, all the baptisms in the Bible and what they involve, but that changed this morning. They can't be here. So, that's okay, but he did show me that there, and you all know this, I'm not telling you nothing you don't know, but there's a wall. There's a wall around the city of God, isn't there? There's a wall around you and your family, right? If God is the Lord of your family, right? But he showed me there's a breach in the wall. And a breach is what? A breach is where the enemy has torn a section of the wall out, or he's ripped the gates of the wall out, kind of like Nehemiah. He said, got to rebuild the walls. Got to rehang the gates, right? We got to rehang the gates. This predominantly is not for you. This is for America. And America's only going to be influenced by good by you. Not by, well, they're being influenced by the demonic. But when they start seeing the light of God come out in you, which they already are, but there's more. And we just need to, you know, the world's constantly chipping away at you, trying to make you into its image. Is that true? The world wants you to look, be, smell, look, you know, wants you to be just like it, right? Why does the world want that? Makes himself feel better. Lord, in the last 5, 10, 20 years, not that many, all I hear is about the beauty of diversity. You hear that? Oh, we are so diverse. But don't you be a Christian. We don't want that kind of diversity, right? I'm not going to go there. There's a breach in the wall. Would you agree with that? Yes. Say, there's a breach in the wall. Say, we are commanded to close that breach in Jesus' name. Is that true? Where would you find that in the Bible? He said, be a watchman. He said, rebuild the wall. Where would you find rebuild the wall? Read Nehemiah, would you? Read Nehemiah. You are a watchman on the wall. Donna's been waking up at 3 a lot lately, and not for a Highway 150 corridor. God has woke her up to intercede for different things, for family, for people. How many of y'all, I won't tell you to hold your hands up, but God knocks on your door at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, like, oh, I'll get up later. So easy to just roll over and go back to sleep, but it's pivotal what's going on right now that you pray. So, how do you close the breach? How do you close the breach in the wall? Well, Lord, show me a few things, but first you must know the truth. You must know the truth. Again, what does know mean? It means you must have relationship with the truth. It's not like you know Jesus walked the planet. You know him personally. You know the truth, right? You know the truth. You've got to know it. Everybody knows about it, but how many of us really know the truth? You must expose the lie and tell the truth. Is that true? What do they say in court when you get up? I don't know if they even do that anymore. It's probably politically incorrect, but used to. When you'd stand up on the witness stand, y'all ever get to do that? I was scheduled to one time, but they went on and settled it. Did you get to do it? You got to be a witness. And what did they still do what they did when I was? What did they tell you to do?
Put my hand on the Bible and swear. I had to put my hand on the Bible and swear to tell the truth.
You used to say, I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Now, do you think they said all that? And clarify that, not a truth. Not a truth. It doesn't say that you will tell a truth. It says you will tell the truth, the whole truth. Boy, that's biblical, isn't it? You will tell the truth and the whole truth, so help you God. Well, now, there's lots of people running around. There's heretics running all over this planet right now with partial truth from the Bible. They pull out just this much and say, here's what God says about this. But they stop the next verse or the verse before that. You've got to know the whole truth. You've got to know it. Does that save you? Sure, the truth saves you. Jesus said what? He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to truth except through me, right? He said, I am the truth. All these other fairy tales, all these other philosophies man has made up, even science sometimes tries to circumvent what the Lord has said. Of course, they always find out they're wrong in 10 years and they have to change what they found out. You ever notice that? When I was a kid, they believed this about this, but now they've changed 4 times since I was a kid. And I'm not against education, but they're learning and ever learning, but never able to come to the truth, right? And the truth is right before you right now. If you're looking at your Bible, the truth is right before you. I wish Nina was here. I just get her to get up and talk about the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Matthew 18, go there. Verse 1. Say when you get there. Go. I got it. Y'all got it? Got it. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly," what's that mean? Does that mean maybe? That means assuredly, I assure you, I say to you that unless you are converted, you repent, you turn to oneself from one course of conduct to another. That's what it means. That's what converted means. It means to repent. You're going this way and you go this way. You change your mind about where you're going, right? And you become as little, what? Children. You will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So what was it that Jesus was saying here? I mean, it's pretty clear, but does anybody, what was he saying? He was talking about unless you become as what? How many of y'all got little children? You got little children. They pretty much would believe anything you told them, wouldn't they? Pretty much.
Yeah.
Even if it's a tooth fairy. They would believe there's this little guy that comes and takes your tooth. Y'all may not do that, but you could tell them there's a little guy that comes and takes your tooth and replaces it with money, and they believe it. I believed it. Lord, I feel stupid, but I believed it. I hope we're not damaging anyone. No, they're all gone. There was a St. Nicholas, and he was an awesome man, and he did take care of the poor, and he fed the hungry, and he gave the little children. Yes, that was all true, but he didn't get in a sled and fly across the planet. But you know what? I believe that. I believed it so much, I set cookies and milk out. And you know what? He drank it and ate them. The next morning, they were gone. You can tell a child anything and they will believe it because they have no, they trust you and they have no, that's very good. They trust you and they have no reason not to believe you. Is that true? Wow. So Jesus said, unless you become like that, believe in the tooth fairy, believe in the little guy in the red suit, you believe a man went to the cross. He was born of a virgin. Whoa. That's pretty hard to wrap your head around. The carnal mind can't wrap their head around the virgin birth. Cannot. Cannot. The carnal mind can't wrap their mind around God coming down from a beautiful, gorgeous heaven to this place. The carnal mind can't imagine God nailed to the cross and bled and died and shed his blood and that blood would forgive you for all your sins. The carnal mind can't do that. You've got to be like a child. And praise God, y'all have been like children. Or you wouldn't be here today. Or you haven't decided yet. Unless you're converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, all this stuff said, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So, Jesus is the truth. Amen? The Word of God is the truth, right? He said every jot, every tittle will be fulfilled in it. Everything written in this book will be fulfilled someday, right? Number two, this is elementary stuff. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, right? Number two, Satan is a liar. And whenever he speaks a lie, he's speaking his native language. Because he's a liar and the father of all lies. When you tell a lie, you're following your former father. Hopefully, you don't tell a lie anymore. That's why lies infuriate parents so much. Because it's going against your can't even think of the right word. Y'all hate it when has anybody had a child that lied to them? No way, you got two sitting there and they're going, they're smiling now. Must be true. Some people are cursed with the gift of being able to lie and their mom and dad can't even tell if they're lying or not. I was blessed with the gift. If I lied, my face just went flushed out and they knew I was lying. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. But Satan is a liar and the father of all lies. Would you agree with that? When he speaks a lie, he's speaking his native language. Number three, Satan is the great deceiver. Satan is a master at telling partial truth. Right? You ever told partial truth? Well, they call that white lies. Maybe you told something, but you left something out. Yeah, this car, man, this transmission's fine. Man, the interior's great. Look at the wax. There's no dents. There's no dings, no rust in it. But you told them the truth. But you forgot to say, but, you know, the valve train is lunched and it's using 3/4 oil a week. But you just conveniently left that out because that's just the way you sell cars and stuff. It's a lie. It's a lie. We can't, as believers, we cannot walk in partial truth, right? What is the definition of deceiver? And I looked this up in Greek, and I thought it was awesome. First word was seducing. You know what seduction is? I figured y'all did. Seducing, wandering, roving, misleading, leading into error, a vagabond, it said, a tramp, an imposter and a corrupter. That don't sound too flattering, does it? You know what Jesus said about the deceiver and the liar? I know y'all do. Jesus said most people will follow that. Most people will believe the lie. Is that true? More than 50% of America believes the lie. And I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about most people believe the lie. Let's see what it says about that. I'm not going to have you look there because you know this verse, Matthew 7:13-14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So what Jesus is saying is that very few people are going to get to heaven. Very few. 90% of America claims, well, I think it's 70 or 80% of America believe that they are going to heaven, believe that they're right with Jesus and right with God. So that kind of totally goes against what Jesus said. What would a few mean to you? Very few, it says, I think. What would very few of 100 be to you? How many? 30. That is very few. Wow. So that means 7 out of 10 aren't going to make it. And I would call it less than that, brother. But that's being, think about that now. That means 7 of the houses in your neighborhood, the whole family's on their way to eternity without God. 7 cities out of 10 in Indiana, 7, you know, Just think about it. Seven out of everything is not going to make it to heaven. Because they believed the lie. Maybe they were never presented the truth. You think that? You know, man, the other day in Food Pantry, see, if you're not among people, how many of y'all, a lot of y'all work in a workplace, don't you? Aaron, I know you do. I know you work around the people on the barge. Mike works in a workplace. You work in a workplace. You work, most people here work around people, don't they? Hannah works around people. Hannah, tell me, you work around predominantly young people or people of all ages or mid? Most of them are below 50. So, in your opinion, just thinking of all the people at your work, how many people would you say you actually work with? Well, you're in contact with, where you know their life enough to. Four? So you're in a pretty small place, huh? How many of them you think are on their way to glory? Three. Three out of four? Oh, three in the entire shop, which would be how many? 16 people? Well, that's less than 25%. It's what you think. I know you can't judge. Yes. Yes. Wait a minute. Let's hear this. I want it to get on the World Wide Web.
I was told a couple days ago by one of the people that's in the four that I'm around with constantly that I actually do make a bigger difference than I thought I did.
Praise God.
And that I actually absorb people's bad moods and put good moods out, and they absorb the good mood. And I make like a huge difference, and I'm really pleasant to be around.
Praise God.
So, and I honestly did not think I made that big of a difference, to be honest. Because there was a point where it was super rough, and I didn't want to be there every day. But it got good, and now I'm better, and I'm actually happy. So.
Wow.
I told them, they were sitting there talking about religion the other day, and I was like, I'm not going to let any of you guys go to hell. I was like, you hear me? They're like, yeah. And I was like, even if it takes you guys me to put your head in the floor, I was like, you guys are coming with me.
Praise God. Praise God. I like that. I like that. You know, but I used to work with a bunch of heathens, which I was the chief of, like Paul said, for a long time. So you had your, when you work, man, you know, when you work, work's not a bad thing. You got your finger on the heartbeat of the world. You really do. If you just separate yourself from the world, I mean, I'm all for staying holy and pure and away from the influences of the world, but if you don't look around and see the world for what it is, you really kind of lose track. You kind of get to thinking, well, everything's fluffy and, you know, everybody's okay, and it's easy to do that. But at Food Pantry, I think there was three the other day that had never been in here before, and I always tell them, come on over here with me. I need to talk to you for your first time, and they're thinking, oh, he wants to get statistics and all this. I want to know if they know Jesus. That's what I want to know. And three of them the other day, I started asking, the first thing I ask them is, what do you believe about Jesus? And usually they've got the correct answers, but they may not be following, but they know. There was three people the other day that had no clue who Jesus was, what he did, what he claimed to do, had no clue. And they were almost shocked when they found out what I told them. Told them the gospel. No, they didn't repent and fall on their face. One of them did. But you know what? This is the world we live in, man. These young people, y'all know the young people that you raise. You raise them, and they know the truth. But don't think that most of the kids they go to school with know the truth. All they know about is the lie. Listen, man, I am telling you, there was a, I won't even say what sex they were the other night, but a youth group. And they started telling that they had a real compassion for people. And there was a little lonely person, a little lonely girl that lived right down the street. And so they went over there to be their friend and try to be Jesus to them. Well, mom and dad's on drugs. Dad starts kind of flirting around with this girl. The brother's starting to think about threatening violent sexual, you know. I'm just telling you. And I think y'all are very aware, but I would never let my child go spend the night. I would be anybody. But my Lord, if you don't know them, you're setting your kid up. Please, please don't allow your children. Your kids probably get mad at you and tell you you're a da-da-da. Well, guess what? Your mom, your dad. So, but there's a war to destroy the youth. Yes. Yes, you may. They probably need to hear what a mom has to say.
I just want to kind of go back to what you're talking about, how those three people didn't know anything about Jesus. In 2007 in Kentucky, we had Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God in our textbook in English, and I taught it as part of a persuasive unit. The very next year, we got new textbooks. So it's been at least 10 years that there's been no, that was the only little bit of, you know, biblical type information those kids got. And so in at least 10 years in Kentucky, more in, you know, other states, these kids, it's not nothing biblical is taught in schools anymore, nothing. And we always say, well, it's not in schools, you know, we're separation of church and state and all whatnot, but these kids really are getting zero. And that my kids that 1 year got a little bit of something, you know, they heard a sermon from 100 years before, but those kids were coming out now that were shooting out of these schools, they get nothing. So if their parents are not in church and they don't have any friends inviting them to church, they literally have no frame of reference. And we're seeing that with like literature and a lot of things that are coming up, you know, but especially in, you know, the gospel. These kids have no frame of reference for what the gospel is. They might have heard the name Jesus offhand in a TV show that was mocking him or something, but they have no real understanding of who he is and what he does.
Praise the Lord. They don't say the Pledge of Allegiance. I don't know about it. Some schools do, but praise the Lord. You were a light, though. Mike Beal's a light. Mike Beal gets to pray with these kids. Praise God. He does everything he can do when the door opens, don't you? Praise God you're there. Praise God you two are there. Praise God y'all that love Jesus that are in public school. Praise God you're a light. Praise God. But pray for them. Pray for them. If you got them in there, pray for them. They need prayer. Praise God, these young people have your covering, praise God. Not everybody has that, see? So, praise the Lord. The truth, talking about the truth, Jesus said to those Jews who what? Believed him. This is John 8:31. Those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, if you live in my word, if you eat my word, if you digest my word, if you obey my word, right? Is that what it says? If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know. You will know. You will understand. You will perceive. You will have knowledge of. You will have relation with the word of God. And you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. And then they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus said, Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. We are Americans. We've never been in bondage to anyone. Right? We've never been conquered by anyone, right? Have we ever been conquered? Have we ever had a war on our soil with outside nations? No, no, we have never been in bondage to any other country. But right now, we're in a different kind of bondage. We are in bondage to Satan. We are in bondage to false ideas and false teachings and false doctrines. Amen? I'm not bad-mouthing our country. I'm just telling you where we're at. There's only one thing that will set us free from this. It's the Word of God. It's new life in Jesus. How many things did, when you first came to Jesus, a lot of y'all been walking with Jesus for a long time. Long time. When you first came to Jesus, did you feel like he was a meanie and he was going to take all your fun? Is that the way you looked at him? Oh God, now I can't get drunk and be hungover no more. Oh God, I can't puke and hug the toilet no more. Oh God, this is horrible. I can't get stoned and wonder if I'm going to die anymore. I can't talk like a filthy heathen no more. Oh God, how can I endure this? Is that how you felt? If you did, I question your salvation. When you came to Jesus, you wanted to change. You wanted to please Him. It wasn't like, oh God, now I've got to, oh. See, that's the way I looked at, that's the way I looked at salvation. Yeah, I prayed a prayer when I was 15, but you know, all the world, like you too. I know the whole world's opened up to y'all. The whole world's opened up to a lot of young people right now. It's just like, wham, here it is. Here it is. And your hormones are percolating because you were designed to reproduce. You were designed for that. But you weren't designed to look at pornography and not be affected by it. You weren't designed to make out with your girlfriend or your boyfriend and not be affected. No, really. Oh, holding hands. Ooh, awesome. Ooh, whoa. And that probably done been skipped. Holding hands. Oh, it feels so good. Feels so good to be loved. In a little kiss. Oh, wow. Nothing could outdo that, right? And then a little different kind of kiss. And whoa, fireworks. It's so good. Won't go no further, but it just keeps going and going and going and going because God has designed you to be fruitful and multiply, right? Not to be fruitful and fornicate. That's what he would have said. That's what he would have said in the Garden of Eden, wouldn't he? Now go forth and fornicate. Is that what he said, Scott? Nope. Why am I getting so graphic? Because the world's graphic. Genesis. Let's go all the way back to the beginning, okay? We're not going to get into this too far. There's so many perversions of the Word of God, but it all starts here. The first truth in the whole Bible was, in the beginning, what? God. We'll leave created out right now. In the beginning was God. And you got kids going to school, and they say, in the beginning, there was a big explosion. and everything came into existence from nothing. Wow. That's so incredible. And it's expanding. It continues to expand. The universe does. Yeah, talking about fairy tales, this is a teacher. This is a teacher that has strayed from her teachings. And there's a group of people out there that say about their Savior, Darwin, that's the truth. And Darwin repented before he died and said, no, I was wrong about that. Did you know that? Yes, he did. And now most scientists agree there was an intelligent creator. Now, they wouldn't say it's God or Jesus or Yahweh or Jehovah, but they said this world was made by intelligent design. It was not an accident. What's that? UFOs. No, they're what's going to take the Christians out. UFOs. That's how they're going to explain the rapture. I've been told that. I don't know if that's true or not. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. What was God to have a split personality? He said, our. What's that mean? It means Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, in the very beginning, God created. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Well, Jenny, do you look like God? I don't know. Danny, you look like God? It says image. Image is what it says. Jamie, that means you're created in God's image. That means you have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. Wow, three parts. Isn't that interesting? Just a coincidence. Darwin could have explained it. I'm being facetious. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion. Dominion. What's that? Rule, reign, kingship, right? Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Say, I am made in the image of God. I'm not a little earth being. I'm made in the image of God. You got to know who you are. You were created for something greater than just walking around, existing, making money, getting a home, and dying. You were created for eternity. You were created to change eternity. You were created to change things. You were created like Hannah. When you go into a room and everybody's depressed, cussing, cursing, blah, 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 vomiting on everybody, you were created to walk in there and they go, wow, you were so pleasant. You are an atmosphere. That's what they said about you. You're an atmosphere changer, Hannah. And so often we're atmosphere changers and we go in there and let them change our atmosphere. We go home and let the children change our atmosphere. No, you've given dominion over the animals of the earth, but you've been given dominion. You've been given dominion. You've been given dominion. You've been given dominion over your children. Dominion. Rule. Kingship. Come on, kids. Tell me that don't feel good. I think it feels real good to be protected. You ever get out from the covering of your mom and dad who loves you and takes care of you and prays for you and intercedes for you, and you get put in a home with a drug addict and child molester, you will see how blessed you are. And that'll never happen to any of y'all, But my God, you are so blessed. I was so blessed to be raised in a Christian home. Even though we didn't speak in tongues, even though all the gifts of the Spirit didn't operate, I was raised in a Christian home where they knew right from wrong and they taught right from wrong. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Genesis 2:8. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and he put man whom he had formed in the center of it. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of the fruit of good and evil you will not eat, for in that day, in the day that you eat of it, you will surely," what? "Die." And the Lord God said, "It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." So I'm not going to read all that. But really, I would get in Genesis and I would read. But it said that God loved man so much that he wanted him to have a companion that he could relate to. The man went, he went to the animals and said, "Yeah, they're fun to pet and all that, but they're not." He wanted to give him a helpmate. He wanted to give him someone to go through life with. And praise God, he's given us husbands. He's given us wives to gird each other up and to be strong. And that, so, God put man in a perfect, would you say the Garden of Eden was a perfect place? I mean, perfect. It was like heaven on earth, wasn't it? He told the man, he said, "Oh, you got to work hard. You got to get out here and pull weeds, and you got to get rid of these insects that eat your plants up, right?" Isn't it amazing? You can plant a beautiful garden and you can go away for 2 weeks in August and come back and it looks like, what happened? The weeds, the briars. That wasn't in the garden. In the garden, he'd said, "Tend it. Pick the fruit. Eat the fruit. I've given you all these wonderful things. I've even given you a tree. When you eat the fruit off of it, you live forever." There's just one tree I want you to leave alone. Just one. One out of the thousands or millions, however many trees were in that garden. Just one. And he even gave him a wife. He took a rib out of Adam. And somehow, who knows, somehow, well, DNA, right? I don't know, but somehow he created a woman. And he breathed the breath of life in her. And he said, "A man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Well, I was wanting to get into Noah today, but whoa. That covenant promise that God gave Noah. Wow. Well, it's all about the truth, you know? It's all about the truth. Yes, sir. Yes, yes. I got a whole lot of revelation, way more than I got time for. Yes.
You were talking about building the wall, closing the breach. We have to rebuild portion of the wall. And if we use the word, that's like pure mortar. It withstands the elements. It's hard. It's firm. But it costs a lot. It costs your life. You have to die to yourself to get it. And then there's the partial truth. You go down to the cheap place, and you can buy this mortar that's only partial truth. It's lies. It's filled with sand. And it's just enough to stick, but not enough to hold up under pressure. And so we don't want to build our wall on the false stuff.
Amen. That's good. And if you notice, when Satan came, did he not give them partial truth? Did the Lord really say that? And she even told a lie when she said it. Well, the Lord said we cannot eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we can't even touch it. God didn't even say that. So the lie had already started. So the point is, though, that they believed the lie, because Satan said, you will not surely die. Right? And sometimes I think, how in the world could anybody stick a needle in their arm with heroin in there and go? And you hear people say all the time, I didn't think I'd get hooked. When everything says, you will get hooked when you do this. When you snort methamphetamines up your nose or smoke it, you will get hooked. It's the same lie. You will not surely get hooked. You will surely not get addicted. You will not surely die. But yet, the newspapers, the news shows all the murders and all everything that goes on over in Louisville. The murders are probably 95% drug-related. But yet, the lie goes on. And I know I'm not preaching to anybody. I don't think I'm preaching to anybody here that's addicted to anything like that. But you live in a world that's addicted, and the only thing that's going to counteract it is the truth. And you can't be ashamed of the truth. Amen? Can you be ashamed of the truth? Can you be ashamed of the truth because it'll spare people's feelings? No, you tell the truth of the goodness of Jesus first, right? That lady that come to the Lord yesterday or got filled with the Holy Ghost, we loved on her and we told her the truth. Now, there's a time when you've got to, you got to deal with sin. But God wants you to be the light. And unless you get in the secret place of the Most High, and unless you get into the Word of God, you won't have very much truth in you. I'm telling you, if you will covenant to read the Word of God and absorb the Word of God, I think what Dave Hogan said, he was now listening to it, I guess, on his phone. How many chapters a day? 100? And I'm not saying y'all can do that, but if you're driving in the car or if you're doing anything, watching TV, you can absorb the Word of God. Man, go to sleep with it playing, but there's power in the Word of God, and it will change you, and it will give you strength, and it will cause you to not be afraid of the enemy. Is that true?
Yes.
Time alone, secret place time alone with God will keep you from being afraid of the enemy. Listen, David's brothers were all Jews. They were all from the chosen lineage, weren't they? And when Goliath said, I'll eat your bones and crush you, they ran. And he cursed the name of the Most High God, didn't he? And David said, why are you letting this uncircumcised heathen Philistine talk to you that way and talk that way about your God? And they go, shut up. You haven't been out here in the battle. That's right. He hadn't been in the battle. He'd been in the secret place with the Most High God. He'd been in the secret place with his Father. He had the Word of God in him, and he knew the Word was greater than the lie. And when he went to battle, the power of the Lord was on him. The anointing of the Lord was on him to do great feats. When you focus on the lie, when you focus on the danger, when you focus, I'm all into knowing what's in the world so you can pray for it, but don't focus on it. It's like living in vomit. The truth is, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. The truth is, Jesus is coming back for a spotless bride. The truth is, all the signs are lining up, right? Praise God. The truth is, I'm a child of the Father God Almighty, and I'm going. Don't know what the timing is. Don't care what the timing is, but I am going with the King when He comes back. And I want to take as many people with me as I can. I don't want to get to heaven and say, I wish I'd done. Too late. Too late. And that's why He's going to dry every tear from Kristen's eyes. Missed opportunities. Not Kristen, not picking on Kristen, but He'll have to wipe tears from her eyes and say, okay, it's okay, baby. You're forgiven. You're washed. I sent somebody else to take care of it. But don't look at it that way. Time is short. If Jesus don't come back for 1,000 years, time is short. Your time on this planet could be right now. And only the things, Scott, that you do for Jesus will remain. That's all it'll remain. Your house won't remain. Your bank account won't remain. Your car won't remain. Only the things you've done for Jesus will remain. How passionate we should be. Mike, we're at... There's 6 seconds left on the clock. U of L's up by 2 points. Kentucky throws it to the half court and... swishes a three-pointer. It's over. We're in that. No. Listen. And I'm not. Don't start throwing that. Don't start throwing that U of L stuff on me. Look to your left and see that hat and know the truth. But the point is, listen. I don't want to talk about Kentucky. We are in the last. Listen, we're in the last. You know. It always kills me in football games, in basketball games. They're like, do-do-do-do-do. And in the last 5 minutes, they're playing with so much passion. You think, how have they got anything left? You know why? Because it's the end of the game. Everything's at stake right now. Hey, guys, it's at the end of the game. We shouldn't be weary. We shouldn't be wore out. We should be rah! Come on, we ain't got long to live. We're just about finished with this race. Come on, Amy, you're a young lady, but you're almost finished with this race. I'm looking for somebody old, but I can't find nobody except me. I'm almost finished with this race. Come on. I've got maybe 20 years, maybe 30. I'm about finished. I'm getting tired. My body's wearing out. I'm not speaking evil. I'm just telling you that my race is almost finished. And I better start storing up some more trophies, storing up some more medals, storing up some more crowns. That's it. Crowns. That's the word I was looking for. Come on, man. It's almost over. It's almost over. It's almost time to go home. Come on, man. It's eternity with God. It's eternity in the garden. It's eternity. Good things. Wonderful things. It ain't worth selling your soul for sex. It ain't worth selling your soul for pornography. It ain't worth selling yourself for drugs. It ain't worth selling yourself for the dollar. It ain't worth it. There's only one thing worth anything, and that is the Lord Jesus crucified, resurrected, and living in me, and coming out of me. He don't want to live in you. He wants to come out of you like living water. Let's stand up. I went too far. Jesus. There was some gangsters sitting on the back row yesterday at prison. Because they was hard and they was tough and they was looking like this. No, really, they was tough. They was big girls. They wasn't tough because they was big girls. They was tough because they've been around. And they're like, you know, they couldn't smile or receive because they would look weak. And the Lord said, there's at least four of you in here. And there was four back. And it wasn't directed at them. There's four of you in here. You've been diagnosed being bipolar. You've been diagnosed with schizophrenia. And they're like, whoa. If you want to be healed, raise your hand. They dropped all their guards down for the prophetic word of God. So listen, my friend, I don't know what kind of label's been put on you, but it's a lie and it can be broken by the power of the blood. I'm talking emotional junk. I'm talking physical junk. I'm talking spiritual junk. It can all be broken. You don't have to live in that label. Man, I was probably quad polar when I was a kid. God is a deliverer. God is a healer. Amen? Y'all don't like that one. You did like that one. There isn't no such thing. Well, there is too. You can get so divided, it can be more than that. In Jesus' name, God. Lord God, let's just hold our hands up. Lord, thank you. Just start thanking him. Start thanking him for his truth. I thank you for your truth, Jesus. Thank you for loving me enough to be sure I got a copy of it. Lord, you said put your hand on your belly. Lord, you said those who believe in you, as the scripture has said, Lord, just confess it. I believe in you, Jesus, just like the scripture says. Therefore, out of my belly will flow rivers, not streams, not drips, rivers of living water. Burst forth, living water come forth, living water come forth, living water come forth. I tear down every blockage, I tear down every lie, I tear down every high thing that exalts itself against you and your nature. By faith right now, if you need a prophetic word for your workplace, if you need a prophetic word for your home, if you need a prophetic word and you'd like to fluently speak prophetic words where you go, and God would show you things about people that you need to know to get them interested in Jesus. If that's you, come up here. I'm not going to impart it to you. It's already in you. I just want God to release it in you. Lord, I thank you that you're